to start this now.
So what Jonathan Sasson pointed out to me, which I didn't realize before, is that Perek Sheni starts with this huge Mishnah, and the entire Gemara is on that Mishnah. Perek Shlishi is the same, and Perek Revi'i is also the same. So the way it works is that the Savaroim, who were a group of Chachamim who came after the Amoraim, so the Savaroim broke up the Mishnayos. They broke up the Mishnayos, and they kind of labeled the Gemara according to the Mishnayos. So they had, you know, a couple lines of the Mishnayos, and then they organized the Gemara accordingly.
In these prakim, or the
no,
way we usually
no, the way we usually see it. So in these prakim, 3, 4, and 5 of Tainus, as well as I think in the final two prakim of Maseches Brachos, they didn't. So what we're left with is a perek that starts with an entire set of Mishnayos, and then followed by the Gemara. So we don't really have.
Ravina and Ravashi didn't codify this in the same way.
They codified the Gemara. Well, they codified the Gemara. They codified the Gemara without labeling it according to the Mishnah. I mean, the Savarim just basically broke up the Mishnah and said, so the following Gemara is talking. They didn't really add anything. They just organized it. Yeah, they restructured it, organized it. They organized the Mishnayos according to the Gemaras. This Gemara is talking about this part of the Mishnah, so let's put it over here. So they.
I mean, that seems like it's as impactful as the words themselves. How you group it influences how you see it.
I don't think it influences how you learn it. Meaning it doesn't make an impact on the, it certainly doesn't make an impact on halacha lamaisa, and I don't think it makes an impact on how you learn it either. It's certainly easier to learn it when it's broken up, certainly easier to do that, but I think that what comes out of the Gemara is no different whether it's grouped as one long Mishnah or it's separated as Mishnahs. What? I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Kallus, what's going on with you, man?
He's an uncle.
He's an uncle.
He's an uncle. Say uncle. Okay. You gotta be an American to get that one, I guess.
Have you seen him yet?
Yeah.
He's cute.
Huh? Whenever you're ready, Douglas, we're just gonna.
I had a question. Why is does it say again?
Don't know. Don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why that happens.
You prepared yourself for that answer.
I did prepare myself. I knew Douglas Stein was going to ask that question. That's a typical question from the Radash Shlita. Okay.
Radash
Shlita. Okay. So now here we go. We're actually on Yotesimid Aleph because we saw parts of the Mishnah on Yotesimid Beis. What we saw last time was that the Gemara had said if you have a particular city where there was no Geshem, even if the surrounding cities have Geshem, then the city that has no Geshem is going to fast and it's going to cry out in Tefillah, and the surrounding cities are going to either fast or cry out in Tefillah, depending on how you learn it, whether it's the Tanakhama or Rabbi Akiva. What exactly the Tanakhama and Rabbi Akiva are arguing about, I don't know what the Hezber of the Machlokis is. But the same Machlokis shows up in the very next case. We're on the third line in the Mishnah on Yotesimid Aleph. Dechein ir sheyesh bedever o mapolis. So too, if there is a city that has a dever, a plague, or a mapolis. A mapolis is where the walls are falling. Okay? The Gemara is going to discuss. The Gemara is going to discuss the case of mapolis. What type of walls are we talking about? And in what situations do those walls, falling walls, warrant a fast? But the commissioner here is going to discuss what exactly a dever is. How do we define a plague, right? What is the definition of a plague? Anyway, so the chen ir sheyesh bedever mapolis osa ha'ir misane. Umosras, that city that has the plague is going to fast and cry out in tefillah. The surrounding cities will fast, but they will not cry out in prayer. Rabbi Akiva Oimer, the opposite, masrios v'lomisanos. They're going to cry out in prayer, but they are not going to fast. And again,
because of the concern that it may hit their city soon.
Right, as we're going to see, this is what the Mishnah will call a makah hamahaleches. This is a moving. It's a moving target. It's a moving target, and therefore we are afraid. We're afraid that maybe it's going to walk around. This dever, Mapolis, is going to find its way to the adjacent cities. And so too in the previous case where you had Geshem in one city and not Geshem in another, the Gemara is going to discuss that case as well, but it's the same idea. Now the Mishnah says, as I brought up, Ezehu Dever, what is considered a Dever? What is our dictionary definition of plague? So it says the Mishnah, Ir Hamotzia Chamesh Meos Ragli, V'yatsu Mimena Gimel Mason B'Gimel Yamim Zachar Zeh. Here's the definition. You have to have 500 people, you have to have a minimum of 500 people, but it works as a ratio. For every 500 people that exist in the city, you need to have three people that die on three consecutive days. That means a total of three people dying, not three on each day. That means one person dying on Monday, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. Okay? And so for every 500 people, you need to have three people that are dying on three consecutive days.
Wait, one each day or three each day?
One each day, a total of three.
Three out of each 500 in the population of the year?
Correct. So if the year has a population of 5,000, then multiply the three by 30. By 10. And it becomes 30.
So if three die in one day, that's not a dever.
Right. Says the Gemara, Harei is the dever. Pachos mikanein is a dever. If it's any less than that, it's not a dever. So, if you have... What? Plague. A plague. Some form of... Something in the air. I don't know what it is. Flu? It could be a flu. It could be a flu. If the flu is killing people, then that's a dever. But only if one won one. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you have two on Monday and one on Wednesday, doesn't work. Three on one day doesn't work. You need to have consistency, and you need to have the right amount.
It's not a very high percentage.
What?
It's not a very high percentage.
That's true. It's not a very high percentage. It's not a high percentage. It doesn't need to be.
From what I would have thought.
Right. For what you would have thought from plague.
For plague. Exactly.
Correct. I agree with you.
The English is calling it pestilence.
Oh, if the English is calling it pestilence, it's pestilence. I mean, I can't argue with the English.
Is the idea of the three right? Is a chazakah?
What?
Is the idea that three, one each day, is a chazakah for three straight days, and therefore it's a serious thing?
I don't know. I don't know where the Mishnah got the idea of this ratio from. Maybe the Gemara will discuss it. I don't know. Uh-huh. Where the Mishnah got the ratio of 3 to 500, if it's because it wanted to say that, you know, minimally three is a chazakah, and so in how many is three considered significant? Because if it's three in 10,000, right, well, then you can't call that a chazakah, because that's not a high ratio. So I don't know exactly what moved the Mishnah
My question's going on three straight days. With a three straight day, yes, issue be a chazakah? That type of thing.
It would need, right, you need to have some kind of chazakah that this is a consistent dever. As opposed to, in Metzias, you need to have that. Now, my question is, what if you have 1,000? So you need to have six people dying, right? Does that mean you need to have six people dying on six consecutive days? Or six people dying on three consecutive days, where it's two, two, and two? I don't know.
We already said it was a ratio.
Then it would have to be
6 in 1,000.
Yeah.
Correct. Six people are dying. My question is the six on six consecutive days?
Three days. Why would is there any reason?
You're saying six on 3 days.
Is the Gemara gonna prove me wrong?
I don't know what the Gemara is gonna say. I don't know the Gemara.
Hold it. I haven't
seen the Gemara in this.
3 to 500 means one this day, one the next day.
Correct. What if there are 1,000 people?
Okay, 1,000 people. So instead of one each day, it would be two each day.
Okay, so you're saying it's two on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
That was my question. My question is it one on six consecutive days?
According
creating
to
our six?
This, he's right.
Maybe it just means a minimum. Days? A city is a minimum of 500 people.
What?
Maybe it means a city is a minimum of 500 people.
Yeah.
And 1,000 would be the same sheer.
Three people. 3 people in 1,000?
Yes.
That's crazy. That's.
No.
But you're saying if the city is huge, at Los Angeles, where there is millions of people and three people die, that's a dever?
It's only defining.
How are you talking?
It's only defining a city. The city is no less than 500 people.
Wow.
No, the ratio.
David, what I don't get is what you're questioning about.
I can't handle this.
6 days.
What?
What you're questioning about 6 days.
You can't handle
it. It would seem to me, if you're talking 3 to 500, meaning one person a day, for a city with a population of 500.
Yes.
Okay. If it becomes 1,000, it would be 2 per day over 3 days.
You're sold on 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
So he's, you're saying like him. The reason why we need 3 days in a row is a chazaka. The three establishes chazaka. So the three is not going to change. In terms of the days, the three is not going to change. The question is, in terms of ratio, it would be, if it's 1,000 people, it would be 6, it would be 2, 2, and 2. But Rabbi Yaakov wants to say, if there's 10 million people, 3 is enough to create a dever. I mean, I think that's a tremendous chiddush, Rabbi Yaakov. I don't know. I mean,
I thought it's just trying to define what the city is.
So the minimum population is 500.
Oh, that's reasonable.
Any less than what?
That's reasonable.
That is reasonable. The question
is that some village that has less than 500 is incapable of having a dever? Come on. Now.
Incapable.
Incapable of having a dever.
Incapable. It's not capable.
Yeah, but David, don't we see?
This is the best. We look forward to this twice a week.
It's like a television show.
In our times, that epidemics happen.
Or pestilence.
It starts with one, okay? And, you know, it expands
to two.
Exponentially.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, to where, you know, it could be X number of people dying in one day, Y number of people, and double that the next day, and double that the next day. And
all right.
Or it could be faster.
And therefore what?
And therefore, aren't we saying, or can't we say, that would be the same as what we're talking about, plague or pestilence?
Yes. Yes. I don't know exactly, but yes. I don't know the answer to any of these questions. I'm posing these things as questions. I don't know the answer. All right. I'm tending to agree, though, that I think the 3 days consistent does not extend. If you have 1,000 people, it doesn't extend to 6 consecutive days. I think it's true. You would need 6 people. I differ with Rabbi Yaakov on this.
It's based on ratio.
You need 6 people if you got 1,000, but it's over 3 days. So you need 2 and 2 and 2. The question is, what? Now my question to you. Okay, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but let's just say you got 1,000 people. Now, if we agree that you need 6 people, what if you have a 3, 1, and 2? Ooh, I'm telling you guys are not going to sleep tonight.
What's the question?
This is going to
three
challenge.
Die the first day out of 1,000, then 1, then 2. Guys.
If you say that 1,000 people require 6 to make it a dever, what if you have 3 on Monday, 1 on Tuesday, and 2 on Wednesday?
What if you have 3 on the first day?
You don't have 2, 2, 2. You don't no longer have the consistency of the 2, 2, 2.
I think he yields it.
Yotze the Dever.
3, 1, and 2.
Yotze a Dever. Baruch Hashem. We got a Dever.
What if it's 3 the first day and 3 the second day?
What
if it's 3 the first day and 3 the second day? Is it already considered a Dever by the end of the second day?
No. It's never considered a Dever at the end of the second day. You need a third day. You definitely need 3 days to call it a Dever. Don't even go there. Don't even try that on me. It's not going to work. All right, here we go. I thought it was going to be a quick death. I'm wrong.
We're only two lines into this.
I'm already worked up a schwitz here. This is great. And this is only a Mishnah. Anyway, here we go. Very exciting times we live in. Here we go. So, says the Gemara, Elu Masriyin B'chol Makom. See, on the following, we are Masriyin B'chol Makom. Meaning, even if we see the following things happen in Be'er Sheva, the people living up in... Give me a place in the north.
Tzvat.
Thank you. People living in Tzvat are still going to have to... Tiberias.
The Hermon.
The Hermon, if you will. They will also have to fast, even though they are hundreds of miles, kilometers away. The following things. Al HaShidafon. Shidafon is where you have a very strong wind, dry wind, that dries up the crops. Va'al HaYarakon. Yarakon is when the crops become yellow. They become very, very dried up. Not necessarily because of the wind, but because of other natural forces of the of such. Anyway, Va'al HaArbe Va'al HaChasil. And so too the locusts are coming, and the chasil. The chasil is a type of locust as well, like a... It is a crops-eating insect. The alachaya ra'a, and also if you have a chaya ra'a, if you have wild animals, Va'al acherev, and so too if you have a war going on in a certain part of the city, you could have in Eretz Yisrael, you could have in the very south of Eretz Yisrael, below Be'er Sheva, you could have a little war going on there. Nevertheless, the people up in Tzvas are going to have to fast as well. Again, because this is a makah ha'maleches, this is a fast-moving target. So therefore, we're concerned that maybe it's going to take over the rest of the country as well. Chalila. Maisa.
What do you mean by a fast-moving target?
It moves. You know, that a cherev, a war can start here and move its way here. Drying of the crops can start here, and then you see it's a trickle effect, domino effect. So it can happen quickly in other surrounding neighborhoods, even if it's not immediately surrounding. Anyway, says the Mishnah, Maisa Shayard Zakanim Yerushalayim, there was a story in which the Zakanim came down from Yerushalayim La'arehem to their cities, V'gazru Tainis, and they were Gozer a Tainis, why? Al Shanira Kimale Pitanor Shedafon Ba'ashkelon. In Ashkelon, there was a little bit of crops, Kimale Tanor, just the amount of crops that it would take to fill up an oven. So a very, very small amount of crops were getting... We're getting dried up from the wind. They were getting scolded by the wind. And because of that maka that was happening in Ashkelon, they were gozer atinus throughout the country. The old gozer atinus al sha'achlu ze'evim shnei tinokos be'ever hayardein. There was a story where there were wolves that ate up two babies in the Ever Hayardein, and they made a gzeira across the Yardein going westward. Across the Yarden for the entire country, because again they considered that a maka ma'aleches. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, no, lo al sha'achlu. What?
Two babies. That's all.
What?
Two babies is a maka ma'aleches.
Yes, and I'll tell you further. Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo al sha'achlu, ela al shaniru. That's not even the maisa. The maisa wasn't that they ate the babies. Maybe it was that they ate the babies. But that wasn't even why they were gozer. They were gozer because the wolves were seen. Just the fact that the wolves were seen was enough to be gozer at tinus.
Just seen it walking.
Just see them walking. Jackals over here. We should be fasting all day long.
In Gimel, we have jackals.
You got jackals in Gimel?
I've seen jackals. I've seen jackals.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Where?
I mean, not in a couple of years, but like I've seen them like walking on High Arden.
That's amazing. Trip. They've never hurt anybody.
We see all.
Didn't hurt me.
Okay, well that's good.
No, but they used to.
They used to what?
We used to have, because they're in the hills there, they're the wild dogs.
Right, yeah, the wild dogs.
They used to go in and shoot them.
Yeah, I know that.
No, the feminine.
Jackals are a little
bit different.
The leftists
are.
What?
The leftists are trying to stop them.
These liberals have taken over. Anyway, fine, so that's the case over there.
Yeah.
The Mishnah goes on, Al Elu Masriyan B'Shabbos. The following cases are where we are Masriya B'Shabbos. Now, when we say Masriya, we do not mean blowing the shofar. We mean crying out in tefillah. Al Ir Shehikifu Anachrim. This is a city that was surrounded by non-Jews, meaning during a wartime. O Nahar, or a city.
River.
What?
River?
River.
Nahar, a river, meaning a river is flooding. Vala Svina Hamitrefes Bayam. And a Svina, a boat that was it's capsized, I guess, in the Yam. Either it was capsized or maybe it's just being tossed around, right? Being tossed around. It was on a 3-hour tour and the ship got tossed around. Anyway. So what? The weather was getting rough and a tiny ship that was unfortunately a tiny ship was tossed. Yeah. It wasn't for the courage of the fearless crew. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this. Rabbi Yossi Oimer. Rabbi Yossi says, Le'ezra v'lo Litzaka. We are not Masriyan Litzaka, meaning we're not crying out to Hashem on Shabbos, because Shabbos he milizok, and there's no guarantee we're going to get any Yeshua, so it's not a good time to be tzoik. But you can, La'ezra, to seek help from others, you may do so. Shimon HaTimani Oimer. Shimon HaTimani says,
David. According to this,
what's this? It's
says,
English.
Cry out for assistance, but we may not cry out in prayer on Shabbos.
I said exactly that. I almost quoted the article Mafurish. Yeah. I basically wrote it.
No, but it It sounded like you said you can't cry out on Shabbos.
Can't cry out to Hashem on Shabbos. You can't daven on Shabbos for this.
No, two things. It says we may cry out for assistance, but we may not cry out in prayer.
Correct.
On Shabbos.
Correct. You may not cry out in prayer to Hashem on Shabbos, but for assistance to other people, you can.
Okay.
When we say assistance, we don't mean to Hashem. We mean cry out, you know, like call out to a friend and say, can you help me?
Yeah.
Okay. Shimon HaTimani Omer. Shimon HaTimani said, Af al HaDever. You're even allowed to, on Shabbos, you're even allowed to cry out for Dever, for a plague. The Chacham did not agree. I don't know why they didn't agree. I don't know what the beer of this machlokas is. But Zo. That's what the Mishnah says. Perhaps we will get to it in the Mishnah, in the Gemara. Who was he? It was a Tana. How do I know that? Because he's in the Mishnah. What else do I know about him? I don't know. I don't have his bio. Look at Wikipedia. What? Somebody asked me about this. Was he from Yemen? Why does it say Shimon HaTimani? Good question. I don't know. It's not the same. What?
It doesn't say Timai. It says a Timni.
Okay, a Timni.
Maybe he's
from
Nahal
Timna.
It says from Timna.
He's from Timna. He's not from not Taimani. He's not. I'm sorry. I probably read that wrong. It's Timni. Is it what it's saying?
Timni.
Ooh. Lech of Shemayim. The city of Timna. The customary vowelization of the word is Taimani, and explains that this Tana came from the land of Taiman, which is mentioned in the Torah, Genesis 36:34. As the place of origin of one of the Edomite kings.
Wait,
so there you have it. Rashi's arguing.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's Rashi. That's the first day. Rabbi Yaakov Emdin does not agree.
Who's Rabbi Yaakov Emdin?
Who is not Rabbi Yaakov Emdin? That's what I want to know.
It's a city here, Timna, no?
What?
It's a city here in Eretz Yisrael, Timna, no?
There's a street here in Beit Shemesh.
I think there's a city here, Timna.
Right, no. No.
I think I saw advertisements.
Not all the Tanaim might have migrated.
Eight new cottages. In a settlement, I think, called Tibni.
I think on Eretz Sheva, was that?
Land of Taiman, which is mentioned in
Eretz Sheva.
Look it up, Genesis 36:34. Where in Torah is Taiman? It's not Yemen. It's not our Yemen. It's a different, it's Taiman. Okay, where is that? Genesis 36:34. I'm glad you volunteered. That's going to be your homework for tonight. Here we go. Says the Gemara, "Al kol tzara shlo tavar la tzibur." On any tzara that comes upon the tzibur, masri and alehem, we are going to cry out for them. Chutz mi rov geshamim, with the exception of too much rain. Too much rain, we never cry out. We never call out to stop. Right? We never stop asking because there's too much rain. Maisa shamar la lochoni amagel is the famous Choni Amagel story. Right. All right, famous Choni Amagel story. They said to Choni Amagel, his fellow Shiyar de Geshamin, there was no rain at the time. They said, please pray for us that there shall be rain. Amar Lahem, he said to them, Tzu v'ichnisu tanuri psachim. Bishvil shalo yamoku. Go out and in your backyards and bring in the ovens that you use for the Korban Pesach so that they should not melt, because they used to make them out of cheres, and so too much rain was going to wear them out. So his palel, he davened v'lo yardu geshamim, he davened and there was no rain. Ma'asa, what did he do? Ag uga, he made a round circle around himself, uga, right? He also baked a cake, right? And v'amad besocha, and he stood in the middle of this circle. V'amad lefanav, he said, Ribono shalolam banecha samu pnei malay shani kaben beisid lefanecha. Your children have put their faith in me because I'm like a ben bayis in your house, meaning I'm accustomed to being close to you. Nishbani b'shimcha gadol, I swear. She'eni zaz mikan ad shetarachim al banecha, I am not going to move from here until you have rachmanis on your children. Hischilu gesham menatfin. All of a sudden, there was light rain. Amar, he said, lo kach she'alti. No. You're not getting away with that. I want more than that. Elagish me boru shichadam arus. I asked for rain. I want a lot of rain. Hischilu lored bezaf, lored bezaf. So the rain started coming down with fury. Amar, he said, lo kach she'alti, I didn't ask for that either. Ela gishmei ratzon, bracha, unadava. I asked for gishmei bracha. I want good rain. Yardu ketiknan. And all of a sudden, it came down properly. Ad sheyatzu Yisrael miYerushalayim lahar habayis. So much so, there was so much rain that everybody had to go up to Har Habayis. Har Habayis is very high up. It's very elevated. So everybody had to leave their homes, and they had to go up to Har Habayis in order to seek refuge. Mipnei Gshamim.
He was such a, he had so much kedusha that he was able to, like, you know, like, talk to Hashem and say, no, not this one and that. So how does he have the kedusha, like, to say exactly, and Hashem would understand exactly what to say?
See, so what's pshat?
Why? To go through the whole process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, that's not about any tefillah. I mean, why do we have to say anything? Why do we have to do anything? I mean, it doesn't.
No, I mean, he has, like he's talking to Hashem.
Okay,
saying,
I mean, I hear what you're saying. Sharper, and I don't know exactly what the Mishnah is teaching us with these, you know, with these variations. He davened for it, then it came down lightly, then he said, no, that's not what I want.
Maybe we have to be very specific and fine in our prayer.
We have to be very specific. And our prayer is like a cherev. It's like a, right? Our tefillos are like a cherev. The charbi of a kashti. We have to recognize the koach of our prayers, that they're sharp. And so we have to be very precise with what we're asking for and how we're asking for it. Okay, very good. Good diak, shkoyach. We go on. Bo'u, they came to Rab Choni Amagel v'amrlo, they said to him, Kashem shi'is palalta aleim shi'yodru, just like you daven for them to come, kach ispalal shi'yelcho lohen. Now we need it to stop because it's too much already. Amar Lahem, he said to him, that's not the way it works. Tzu'u re'u im nimches even hatoin. Go out and see if the even hatoin, the stone of complaints has been wiped out. What is the Even HaToen? So the Even HaToen was this big high rock that was in, well, it was around the Har HaBayis, and people who lost objects would go up to the Even HaToen. That's why it's called the Even HaToen. Make a complaint, and you say, I lost something, and then it's a lot, basically a big giant lost and found. Okay? And anyway, I think what he's saying to them is, just as the Even HaToen is never going to get wiped out because it's so high up, and it's never going to get, the rain is never going to reach that point, so too you should not be asking for the rain to go away. We're not doing that. And halach lamaisa, we don't specifically talk about the rain going away. It's not something that we do. In fact, I asked, we were saying the tefillah a couple months ago, we were saying the tefillah for Al HaGeshem, you know, that we say in the Shemona Esrei, and I sent an email to Rabbi Milinowitz.
Or the Va'anenu?
The Va'anenu one. I forgot exactly how the nosach is. But anyway, we were saying that for a while. Yeah. So we were saying that for a while until we at some point stopped, but I didn't know when we stopped, so I asked Rabbi Milinowitz, I said, is now a time to stop? And he just answered me by saying, we don't ask that type of question. We don't ask to stop. You know, we don't...
Not for the rain to stop. You were asking if the tefillah should stop.
Well, if you're... Right, so... But by me asking, I would be... I am, in a sense, asking for it to stop raining. So it's like, you don't talk about it. If you're not going to daven for it, just let it go. But don't make a big scene out of it, in other words. Anyway. Okay, don't worry about it. Just scratch the last 30 seconds. It's totally fine. Anyway.
It's wiped from the record.
Right, exactly. Strike it from the record. Sholach lo Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach sent to Choni Amagel, and he said to him, Imale Choni ata. If not for the fact that you're the great Choni, Gozrani Alecha Nidoy. I would put you in Cherem because of your blasphemous nature in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the way you talk to him. Aval ma eselecha, what can I do for you? What can I do to you? She'ata mischate lifnei amakom. You are mischate lifnei amakom, lifnei Hashem. What does mischate mean? I'll get to that in a second. Ve'os alach ritzoncha. And then Hashem does your will. Keben shehu mischate alav, just like a son who is mischate on his father. Ve'os ala ritzono, and his father nevertheless does his ritzon for him. Ve'alecha ha'kasav omer, and on you, the pasuk says, Yismach avicha ve'imecha. Your father and your mother will be happy. V'sagel yoladatecha, and he who gave birth to you, who bore you, will rejoice. What does it mean? Ma'aselecha she'ata mischate lifnei amakom. So the mischate can mean two things. Mischate can mean like your chote, right? You sin, you misbehave, right? I don't know how the article defines it, but you essentially misbehave. But mischati can also mean to purify, right? I understood, Shah, when I first read the Mishnah, that ata mischati lifnei amakum. What can I do for you? You are mischati lifnei amakum. You purify yourself in front of Hashem. And you're so good You're so good that the Ribbono Shel Olam almost has no choice but to answer your requests. But I think that that's not the way it's done. It's taiched. I think Rashi elsewhere taiches mischate as misbehave, meaning your language is very misbehaving, and nevertheless Hashem heeds your
not
words.
Not misbehaving, maybe seemingly disrespectful.
Yeah, that's what it's. What does it say? Disrespectful?
No, I'm saying that.
And what is it saying?
It's the Ramah.
When you misbehave towards. Ramah.
There you go, Misnachek Shelo Kohogan. You're misbehaving. You're not acting properly. Anyway, I don't know. But at any rate, what is, if it means to misbehave, what does mischate mean? Mischate is an interesting Russian. Mischate is
sin to oneself.
Right. It is a reflexive sinning, meaning that you are making yourself sin. Meaning, even if it's called misbehaving, you're making yourself misbehave. Meaning that your nature is not to misbehave, but you're making yourself misbehave in order to force Hashem's hands. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. Pay no attention to the parentheses. This is a continued Mishnah. Hayu mesan and the yard lahem geshamim. Kodem aneitzachama. If they started fasting, but rain started before Nates. So they started fasting already at Alos, and then bam, right away they got rain before even Neitzachama. Says the Tanakama, lo yashlimu. They should not continue the fast. They should not finish it up. Balachar Neitzachama, yashlimu. But if it does happen after Neitzachama, then already the fasting is kavua, and you should fast till the end of the day, even if there was rain. But Rabbi Eliezer Omer, no. Rabbi Eliezer says no, and this is how he paskin. Kodem chatzos lo yashlimu. If it happens to rain before chatzos, you don't have to finish up the fast. La'acher chatzos yashlimu. After chatzos, you do finish up the fast. And not only that, maisa shagazru tainis belud. There was a time when they fasted. They made a tainis in Lud. Yeah? Because I guess maybe...
Remember Lutkia from...
Lutkia!
What do we consider rain?
From Toronto?
What?
Wait, what do we consider enough rain to merit...
To merit a fast? I don't know.
To merit that it's the giddy. Is it 10 minutes? Is it the quantity? Or is it...
I don't know.
I don't know
if it's a matter of time, and I also don't know, because we know that there, as we'll see, there are different gradations of rain. There's rain for asavim, for tzmachim, and there's rain for eitzim, ilanos, and there's rain for boroshich and ma'oros, for the wells. So I don't know.
It seems very bizarre, though. So
you're
inside davening. You don't have a register of what's going on. You assume that it's whatever quantity or whatever texture.
Okay, it's a good question. It's a very good question. I don't have an answer. I didn't think about that question, but it's a very valid question. Okay, very good. Thank you for volunteering, and we will hear your report on Thursday. Anyway, there was a meister where they were gozer tainis in Lud, and I guess maybe they missed their flight and they were upset about it, so they were gozer tainis. The yard lehem geshamim, and it started raining kodem chatzos, before chatzos. And what happened? Amar lehem Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon said to them, just like Rabbi Eliezer, tzu ve'achlu v'shosu. You can go out and eat and drink. Don't worry about it, because it started raining before chatzos, and that's the koveya. Since it started raining before chatzos, you can eat and drink and be merry. V'asu yamtiv v'yatzu v'achle v'shasu. They did that v'asu yamtiv. They made a yamtiv. U'ba'u benu arbayim. Evening time came and they came. V'koru halal gadol and daven hakar halal gadol. Hod l'Hashem kitov kudukulam chasam. Okay. All right, we're gonna get to the do that's over here, and then we're gonna wrap it up. Seder Tanya Sa'elu Ha'amar Be'avir Rishona. If you look at the beginning of the Mishnah, it says that when do we start the Seder Tanios, which is the 3, 3, and 7 fasts? That's Revir Rishona. That's in the first part of the early rains. Okay? Says the Gemara Urminhi, we have a contradiction, because you're telling me that when do we start fasting? It's in the early part of the it's in the first part of the early rains. It's not true. The Brisa says, Revir Rishona Ushnia Lishol. The first two parts of the early rains, you ask for rain. Shlishis, but at the end of the third, and it still hasn't rained, then lihisanos, then you start fasting. So you see, you only start fasting after the third chelik of the early rains, not the first. So what's the pshat? So says the Gemara, you're right. You have to read the Mishnah a little bit differently. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Hachi Kamar, this is what the Mishnah really means to say. Seder Tanios Ha'amor, Emasai, what's the Seder Tanios? Bizman Sheyatza Revia, if the early rains, Rishona Shnia Ushlishis, the beginning, middle, and third rains, and have gone by, and it has not rained yet, then we start the process of 3, 3, and 7. And that's consistent with Rabbi Yossi's opinion in the Mishnayis, the Chule. The Lo Yarduk Shamim, Maval Yarduk Shamim, but what happens if it does begin to rain? Be'er Rishona, in the very onset of the early rains, Vizaru, and they seeded Velot Samchu, but nothing sprouted, nothing came forth. Inami, or if they Samchu v'chazru v'nishtanu, or if it did start to sprout, but it quickly turned the other way, and it was going bad. So it started to sprout nicely, but then it started wilting. Then Masriyan Aleyan Miyad. Then we have to fast, right, we have to call out in prayer right away. Yeah, there's only two lines left, so...
I know.
Okay.
And for whatever it is...
For whatever it is, I'm just that very boring. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Dafka Nishtanu. When are we going to fast? That's if Nishtanu. That's if the Tzmachim change color. So you see they're already starting to wilt. You see something's changing in them. Then it's a matter of life and death. Aval Yavshu. But if they dried out completely and there's no hope for them whatsoever, lo, then we do not cry out in prayer. Why not? Because it's a goner. Because they've got no chance. And if they got no chance, then it's tefillah shav. That it's there's nothing you can do about it. So calling out in prayer at that point, once they've already dried out, they're finished. There's nothing you can do. Says the Gemara Pshita, well, that's obvious nishtanu tznan. It says specifically in the Mishnah, if they change color, which is obviously mashma, if they're totally dried out, then they're goners, and you can't daven. So why are you even telling me this? What's the chiddush that Rav Nachman is teaching me? So Rav Nachman says, lo tzricha, no, we really need this. Why? De'ikun. Because what happened is they stood up in their kone, in their, what's the kone? The reed.
Reeds.
But it's the stalk. Right, so the tzmachim stood up in their stalk. So, the cases where they were yavshu, they dried out, but then they stood up in their stalk. And so, an onlooker is going to think that maybe there's something to them. Maybe there's actually hope for them. And so, maybe we should start davening again. So says the Gemara, the Ikun, Mahu de Tema, what might I think? I might think, Ikanta Milsahi. I might think the fact that they stood up in their stalk means something. And that's significant. And therefore, there's a chance. And therefore, we should daven for them. Kamash Malan, that no. We are not going to daven for them. Let's just continue a few more lines. V'chein Shepaskel Gesha...
I'm here.
I know you're here now. Nobody else is. That's the problem. Ain melech b'lo am.
I was still here.
Okay.